We're going to be in a book of the Bible this morning, and I want you to see if you can figure out which it is by the verses that I'm going to write on the board. Now, the verses are not from that book, but these four verses can kind of make a rough outline of the book. So see if you can figure out what the book is going to be. So our first text is kind of an outline, Matthew 6:34. Where Jesus tells his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, be not anxious for tomorrow. And he says, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Verse number 2. James 1:27. It says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Verse number 3, Romans 12:17. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all. And lastly, from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, where it says that children and grandchildren have an obligation to help widows and be elderly parents in general, but the family. All right, so from those four verses, each of those relates to something in a chapter in the book we're going to study this morning. I'm guessing some of you may have figured out what that book is. It's the book of Ruth. So open your Bible to the book of Ruth. It's a small book. If you don't remember where it is, it's after the Pentateuch. Then you get Joshua, Judges, Ruth. And Ruth takes place during the days of the Judges. The Judges is an ugly, ugly time. And after the book of Judges, which has a lot of ugliness in it, and what's the general description of things? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Fortunately, not every single Israelite behaved that way, and this is a bit of a bright spot in there. So Ruth chapter 1, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Well, when a famine comes, what do people worry about? What are we going to eat? There was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. So he leaves Israel, goes to Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man, and I'm going to give the quote, not exact, but close to the pronunciation of the Hebrew names, was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The name of his two sons were Machlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. If you go back to Genesis 35:19, it'll mention Ephrathah, and it will say, which is Bethlehem. We see these two connected again and again. When it talks about Jesus will come from Bethlehem, you see these two names again connected in Micah 5:2. So they're from Bethlehem. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. And she's left with two sons. And they took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, which, by the way, Oprah, the celebrity, her parents used this name to make her name. Switched a letter in there, but that's where her name came from. And the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Machlon and Chilion died. So the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws to return from the country of Moab, for she heard that in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you to find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Go back to your home. Find a Moabite man. Find a husband." And she's had a very defeatist attitude here. You're going to see more and more as you go through the chapter. It's not evident so much yet, but you'll see as it goes on. And things have gone badly for her. There's been a famine. She's left her own land. Her husband has died. Her sons have taken Moabite wives. They've all died. And she's going to go back to Israel where she's hers. Now there's some food. They said to her, both of them said, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." They lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Now, I would say there's qualities in Naomi that cause these two Moabite women to want to be loyal to her. But we don't see the best motivations all around here. And for example, she said, "Go back to your gods." You know, these are not women that have, that she's concerned about what God they're going to serve. But Ruth says, "I'm going to go with you. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. I'm going to go with you." So when Naomi saw she was determined, she said no more. So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And they went, and when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" The word Naomi means pleasant. So imagine you're this woman. You've been gone 10 years. Your husband died. Your sons have died. And now you come back into town with this Moabite daughter-in-law, and you're 10 years older. And the people of town look at you. "Is this Naomi?" And she said, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Naomi meant pleasant. Mara meant bitter. So she's saying, so if we put it in our language, her name was pleasant. Is that pleasant? Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. And she's come back for food. She left for food, and she's come back for food. but she just feels bitter and empty. Now, by the end of the book, things are going to be a lot better for her, which is kind of where our first verse comes into play. Be not anxious about such things. And you know what? There's going to be days when evil things happen. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. When we go through something hard, that doesn't mean that the rest of our life has to be bitterness and hard. Things are going to get better for Naomi. Chapter 2, Ruth meets Boaz. Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go into the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the fields after the reapers. Now, gleaning was something, you recall, in the Pentateuch. One of the laws was, don't go through and take everything out of the field. Harvest like where we're at. They come through and they pick the apples. But after they're done, there's always some apples out there. And said, don't go back through a second time. Make sure you got every little bit. That allowed people, poor people, to be able to go in and glean. All right, so Ruth wants to glean. So here we go. She says, "Go, my daughter." She set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and happened to come to part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They said, "The Lord bless you." And Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she's continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoke kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." At the mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her the roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. You remember before they left because there was a famine. When there's a famine, you don't have a lot of food. And then on the journey back, you know, when we travel, it's pretty easy to find food. It wouldn't have been as easy for them. But here she is, and she's been working all day, had that short little rest, and now she's able to eat until she's satisfied and had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves. Don't reproach her. And also pull out from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean. Do not rebuke her." So he's not only making sure that she can glean, making sure you don't need to go to other fields, because you can imagine somebody gleaning. You'll go through, you get what scraps you can here, you go through, get. He says, "No, you just stay right here." And you know, I say, just keep putting some out for her. So they gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said, "Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law in whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." And you recall in the Pentateuch, there were references, you know, to that type of thing and such. And in the book of Judges, some horrible things. So she kept close to the young men of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Just this kindness of Boaz. So here's two widows. There's an old back in town, an older widow and a younger widow. And he appreciates what this younger widow is doing for the older widow. And he just goes out of his way. You know, lets her eat with them, tells his young men, just make sure she's got enough. And she goes back with all of this and even some of the cooked food left over and everything. And so this is a good illustration of pure religion involves doing what's good for the people who are disadvantaged, that you're in a position to help them when they're not in as much of a position to help themselves. Chapter 3. Ruth and Boaz at the threshing floor. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is not Boaz our relative with whose young men you were? She is winning barley tonight at the threshing floor." And let's explain, I think most of us understand that in Israel you had a system, if a man died without having any children, because a woman would marry a man and he was going to take care of her and provide for her, and they would work together and be a team, and they would hopefully be blessed with children, and then those children will be a blessing, and the family goes on, and you have just that continued pattern. But when a man dies and a widow is left here, you remember that a brother, somebody in the family, a brother would marry her and raise up children in the name of the dead brother and keep that inheritance alive. And so that's what you're talking about here when you have the Redeemer. Well, Ruth's husband had a brother, an immediate brother, but he also died, remember. So the brothers are already out of the picture. But Boaz is a relative. And so Naomi says, you know, it'd be wonderful for you to have a husband. So he says, here's what you do. She says, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. "Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself, put on your cloak, and go down to the threshing floor. Don't make yourself known to the man until he is finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She replied, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. She came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled, turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight, and in the morning, if he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another. And he said, let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. So here we see an example in Boaz of do things which are honorable in the sight of all. Ruth is proposing that he take her as his wife. And this is a pleasing idea to Boaz. This is an honorable young woman. She's her loyalty to her mother-in-law and saying, your God will be my God, your people will be my people, and the loyalty there. He's wanted to help her, and now this young woman wants him to be a husband, but he knows he doesn't have the first right. And he's also, in the middle of the night here, not going to take advantage of this situation. And he says, I need to check with the other redeemer. I will do what you want if he doesn't. But if he does, good. He's got that right. But if he does not, I will. But then he has her get up early in the morning, leave, because if people just see a young woman leaving the threshing floor early in the morning, there's going to be a lot of other thoughts about what went on. So Boaz is just an honorable man. Chapter 4. I think we had a few verses left. Verse 15. He said, bring the garment you are wearing, hold it out. So she held it out. And he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then she went to the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did you fare, my daughter? Then she told all that the man had done for her, saying, these 6 measures of barley he gave for me and said to me, you must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. And he does. Chapter 4. Boaz has gone up to the gate and sat down there. You remember in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the worthy woman, where does his husband sit? In the gate. That doesn't mean he's a lazy guy that just sits around the gate all day. We've seen Boaz working and busy and stuff too. But the gate is a public area where you've got some, the elders of the village might gather and that type of thing. Decisions could be made. So he goes up to the gate, and he sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer, of whom Boaz had spoken, came by. And of course, at the gate, you'll see people coming and going. Boaz said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and he said, sit down here. And he wants witnesses and everything to be clear and above board. And he sat down, and he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of these sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. And to get an idea also on land, do you remember what Ahab is all upset about? Ahab decided he wanted somebody's land. And when he wouldn't sell it, the man's still alive. You know, when he wouldn't sell it, then Ahab sulks and everything. And you recall Jezebel arranging to have him killed and everything. Land was an important thing. And here's an opportunity to get some land. And so he says, redeem it. Buy it in the presence of those sitting here, in the presence of the people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it. Then Boaz said, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer backs out. He says, I can't redeem that for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption for yourself. I cannot redeem it. if it would have just been an unattached piece of land for him to add to his own wealth for his sons and everything else, fine. But oh, a widow comes along with it. Then I'd have to raise and split. No, I can't do that. You take it. So Boaz does. Now, this was a custom in the former times in Israel concerning the redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was a manner of attesting in Israel. So when the redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the land of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and that belonged to Chilion and Malchlon, and Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Machlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off among the brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Remember this verse here? Do what is honorable in the sight of all. Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife, and he went unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the women in the village, said to Naomi, the older of the two widows — Ruth is the young widow, Naomi is the mother-in-law, the old one — the women say to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer." Of course, for us, we have Jesus, our Redeemer, who bought us with a price, with his blood and everything. The Redeemer here is the one that had done all these things. "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a Redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel." They're talking about the baby. "He will be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Naomi took the child — this would be her grandchild — laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So she's the grandmother, but this is not just a benefit for Naomi and for Boaz. This is a great benefit. Excuse me, not just for Ruth and Boaz, but this is a great benefit for Naomi. Do you remember the bitterness she had in chapter 1? And she's been anxious, she's worried, she's miserable, she's, "I've got nothing left." That wasn't how it ended up. And now here's this child who, when she gets to be an old woman, he'll be able to take care of her. Valuable thing. "A son has been born to you, and they named him Obed." So that little baby, Boaz and Ruth's son, Naomi's grandson, is named Obed. He's going to grow up and have a son, and he's going to name him Jesse. He's going to grow up and have a son, David, king of Israel. "A son has been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. These are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab." And there would be some gaps in here. "Amminadab fathered Nashon. Nashon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. Jesse fathered David." And of course, if you turn to your New Testament in Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Christ, there's just very few women mentioned there. And who is one? It's Ruth, the Moabite. It begins with some misery and anxiety and bitterness. And then we see kindness of an honorable man toward these widows. And then we see a man who does not take advantage of a situation and does not jump to take that which he doesn't have first right to. And he just, but he assures who, if he doesn't do this, I will. And he follows through and he does that. And then in the end, we see the importance of family obligations. It's really great to see the Baileys back here with their children. And their children are at a point where a lot of what the Baileys do is taking care of those children. But there comes a time and a place where things reverse. And we as children and grandchildren need to be there for our parents and grandparents. And that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for your attention this morning. If you are outside of Christ, ask yourself why you want to be there. If you're not a Christian, ask yourself who you want to serve and where you want to stand on the day of judgment and how you want to respond to the great offer in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, there's something in your life that you need to make right, please make it right with God. If there's something in your life you need to make right with someone else, please make it right with them also. And if it's something that you need to let be known to the brethren, let that be known. Every stand and sing.